Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 317, recorded on January 7th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me this week is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's just you and I, huh?
It's just us, yeah. We did two shows with Jeff.
Hefe's still recovering from CES, or is he there?
I think he's still at CES. Yeah, he's going to be there.
Oh, man, that poor bastard.
I have a friend who, like a non-journalist friend who went to CES for whatever reason. I doubt he'll go back again. But
we're, as I'm calling it this year, the Amazon convention.
Where all the Amazon providers go?
I'm just noticing, like, it's like everything has Alexa built into it now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like refrigerators, toasters, children's toys, your toothbrush. I don't know. I'm making up the toothbrush.
Toothbrush.
Everything else is real.
So you like clamp down on the toothbrush with your teeth and then you hear Alexa in your skull?
Yeah, I don't know. We're not supposed to say that word, right?
Oh, we can't say her name?
No, because that's the key word for a lot of people. Unless
I thought it was like...
It, right?
Like, okay, Alexa, right?
No.
It's just
the name.
It's just Alexa.
Yeah. There was a report here in San Diego, and a news agency was covering CES, and they said, just Jeff, order me a dollhouse, like, on air. Uh-huh. And, like, a million people were, like, writing and pissed off because they all got dollhouse deliveries the next day.
Well, wait, they can't seriously be angry at the newscast.
No, they were. No, they gave angry tweets at the newscast because the system tried to order them a dollhouse. I made up the part about it actually showing up the next day. I guess maybe some people it did, depending upon how you have your Alexa set up. I immediately disabled that ordering feature on mine because I did not want that happening.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, you can do two things. I opted for a passcode. You can like set a passcode so it won't actually create the order until you speak a passcode, which is a whole other thing that boggles my mind. It's like, how is that even secure when you have to like speak out the passcode to everybody?
It's not a passcode. It's more like a safe word.
No, it's actually a passcode. You set like a 4-digit number.
Okay, it's a safe number.
Yeah, safety number.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by HelloFresh, the leading meal delivery kit service for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter TIOSS35 when you subscribe. We'll talk more about them later on in the show. And so iOS stuff.
What's going on, yeah?
Dude. Did you see Sonny Dixon's post about the iPod click wheel iPhone?
No, he alluded to that to me, and I missed the post.
Yeah, so it's up on his website, and I'll send you a link to it so you can actually see it while we talk about it.
I thought that was happening. When did that go up?
January 6th, so yesterday.
Huh. I was looking for it yesterday. It must have gone up late.
Yeah, it's really cool. So the idea is, I don't know where he found this or if it's in his possession. He was kind of cagey about those sorts of details, as you would want to be. But so this is a prototype, one of very few from Apple, which was running a click wheel based version of a phone. I guess it was a prototype where the click wheel was the primary way of getting around things. And so he said it was an aluminum enclosure, similar to the iPhone that we got to see in 2007 with a touch screen, but instead of the like iOS interface that we have now, it was based primarily around the iPod operating
system. Yeah, the iPod OS. This totally looks like iPod OS.
Yeah, so you have a, and it was an on-screen click wheel.
Yeah, it's even got a little aqua dot in the middle.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very clear. There's a video of this. There are a bunch of screenshots, and but there's an actual video of someone going around in this UI. They call it the like Acorn OS because there's a little acorn when it boots up, and it. I mean, it's very clear that this thing would be terrible. It would be a terrible phone.
This must have derived from, for a long time, there was a thought that Apple would build phone functionality into like an iPod, and it would have actually a physical click wheel to almost act as like the dialer, you know, but like everybody lauded it because it was like, oh, wow, you know, like text entry using a click wheel would just be awful.
Yeah, it's pretty apparent from the video that it would just be the worst. This is clearly like a proof of concept to just prove out that this would be a bad idea. The fascinating thing to me is just that you know, this was found or acquired or videoed or something. I mean, it's so the video is in a dark room where you can't really see the enclosure of the device. You can really just see a silhouette of a finger moving around in the interface.
That's probably done because, I mean, they obviously didn't have video out capability, and the only way to kind of really see the screen would be to film it in that kind of lighting scenario. Right.
That's definitely possible. I considered that. I'm also thinking.
So you think this was straight out of the labs?
I don't know. I mean, how does one acquire something?
I haven't seen the video, so I don't know.
It's hard to say. I would not be surprised if this was done in a lab. I guess. Allegedly, and this is something I didn't know, but Apple, I guess, has employees specifically tasked to disposal of prototypes. And so this might have been one of those types of employees, or I mean, who
I would hope they wouldn't just you would think they'd want to keep prototypes.
What are they gonna
locked up somewhere just for history, for historical purposes?
Well, Apple doesn't want to show those, so who's gonna see them?
Well, eventually. I mean, at this point, you can release something like this and talk about the history and provenance of it, of like, hey, here's concepts we were considering before the iPhone or for the iPhone. I mean, you lock them up in a safe somewhere until, you know, enough time has passed where it doesn't matter, right? Like now.
Well, I think that if you look in the Apple history book or whatever.
I mean, there's prototype Macs and stuff that are out there that you can find on eBay and go for tons of money, and like translucent Macs and stuff like that. So I would just hope they wouldn't destroy this stuff, that it would be kept safe for sometime in the future when it could go to a museum or something like that.
Yeah.
Because there's value in showing how a concept like the iPhone developed, right? This is obviously something that was somewhat of a precursor and shows the thought process in moving from the hugely successful iPod to a phone design, right? Mm. This is a branch of that sort of tree.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to see this stuff too. It's fascinating. It's so cool. It's really cool. So yeah, we'll have a link to the whole article in the show notes, and you can see all the screenshots if you haven't already in the video. Yeah, this is, I think they had some of those, didn't they have like demo units or prototype iOS devices show up on eBay occasionally?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta wonder.
Prototype iPhones have leaked out and been sold and been verified as actual devices, you know, beyond just being left in bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beyond being left in bars. Okay. So AirPods.
Yeah.
You got some.
Oh, I have them. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel about your AirPods, dude?
Oh, I absolutely love them. I've talked about this. I think they are a product that exemplifies what Apple should be doing with the rest of their product line. And I'm just a little disappointed that the way the magic of Apple's, you know, product focus shows up in 2016, you know, outside of maybe the Touch Bar, which still, in my mind, needs to sort of prove itself. Everything about the AirPods, I think, exudes sort of the magic of Apple and how they can create a great product and a great user experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's the one sort of, in my mind, the one real positive light of Apple hardware in 2016. I think Apple did a lot of other cool, interesting things in 2016, but from a hardware perspective, it was a little bit light and disappointing. To be honest, there wasn't a lot of exciting hardware innovation in 2016 outside of the AirPods. And again, the Touch Bar, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And it's very possible there was a lot of focus on the Touch Bar. Maybe it was a, you know, one of those ideas that maybe wasn't fully figured out.
No, so yeah, so I love the AirPods. I've loved the whole experience. You know, I wish they were priced a little bit less expensive, but I understand, you know, where the price point is. This is classic Apple, and well, it's very
competitive. The price point is very competitive.
It's going to come down too at some point, you know, as the product matures.
Oh, sure.
But I mean, overall, I don't have, you know, almost everything about my AirPod experience has been really positive. The only negative that I really have, and I mentioned this is on my show, is I have a little bit of trouble doing the whole double tap Siri thing sometimes. And a lot of it, I think, just stems from the fact because there's no visual interface and you're waiting for an audio feedback. Sometimes, occasionally, Siri will be slow to respond. So I'll like double tap and not know it's already kind of activated and just hasn't responded yet. And then I'm like, did it work? Did it not work? I don't know. So that part of the experience is a little clunky, I guess, but it works. I mean, works as advertised. Everything works as advertised as far as, you know, my experience goes. And the audio quality is way better than I thought. The fit is way better than I thought it would be. I'm even like, you know, I use them at night when I'm falling asleep, and I'll fall asleep with them in, and they don't come out.
They come out of my ears. So if I'm doing like bench press or something where I'm like laying down at the gym. I've tried these several times at the gym now. And they work just fine until I lay down, at least.
Interesting.
And they just fall out.
That has not been I can almost do anything in them and they won't fall out for me. So that's probably just, I mean,
my ear shape. Yeah, I know.
Ear shape.
It's very,
yeah.
You weren't on the last show, but I was telling Adam and everybody else that it's very likely I'm going to be returning these. Uh-huh. Since then I've kind of changed the way that I've been putting them in my ears, I think. So I've had the stems were kind of flaring out a bit when I wore them previously, and I realized maybe if I try to maneuver them in a way that the stems...
Oh, yeah, mine are like almost flat against my head.
Yeah, see, that has improved the situation. But yeah, like I said, if I lay down with them, they just literally fall out. Very just like, they're gone.
What I was going to say is that luckily, I think some third parties and stuff like that are developing things like the little ear hooks, you know, like more like the Daybirds have, where you can get a little silicone thing that sort of slips over the stem or the back of the AirPod to kind of help lock it in your ear. And I'm sure someone else will develop like an over the ear kind of clip. So I think there's going to be solutions for people who maybe have an ear shape that's not totally compatible with these.
But dude,
I think
there's going
to be some innovative solutions.
Okay. So with all of those, you know, if it's a little cover that goes over the pod or a hook, what have you, the first question is, okay, great. I mean, certainly with the hook, they're not going to go into the case. And the charging case is kind of an integral part of this.
That's true.
And I've gone around.
Yeah, and that has been a problem. That's been a complaint of these things.
I've tried going out into the world without taking the case.
Oh, no.
You don't want to do that.
No.
Because at some point you're going to want to pull them out of your ears, and then you have to put them somewhere, which is your pocket. Yep. And if you put them in your pocket, then you're like, oh my God, these are so tiny, I wouldn't even notice if they popped out of my pocket. And you know, they're fairly slippery. So I actually would have liked it if Apple had given these a little bit of like a rubberized feel. That would have been really nice.
Yeah, I have a hard time. The other complaint I had was I sometimes have a hard time pulling it out of the case because of the magnet. So the magnet wants to pull it back into the case. And when you're trying to just pull one out, I mean, the only way you cannot, if you try to grip like front to back, there's no way. It's just, so you have to kind of pinch it, you know, where the speaker grill is and 180 degrees behind that, kind of with two fingers, and then you can pull it out. But even there, it's kind of difficult. A listener told me, though, and I haven't tried this too much, he's had success with just like pinching both of them together and they sort of just pop out. Like, you know, one finger on each of the speaker grills on each one, and they'll both kind of come out together.
Yeah, I just did that. That totally works. I had a another listener email in. I forget who it was. They said they also had issues with the AirPods fitting in their ears. Mm-hmm. And I believe his solution was to reverse them, so that the speaker actually went toward the back of your ear. That didn't sound like a great idea. Perhaps weird. I was misinterpreting what he was saying, because right. The other solution I came up with actually in the gym was flip them upside down when I'm laying down doing stuff.
Uh-huh.
If you flip them upside down with the stem up, it totally reorients the center of gravity in a way that makes it so they stay in when I'm laying down.
That's weird.
It is really weird. So I guess all of this is to say that I really don't want to return them, because as you've said, they are magical. They're one of the most Apple. I mean, that's one of those things that I always liked about Apple, especially in the past, where, you know, even if the product wasn't like technically perfect, there's just something about it that makes you fine with whatever shortcomings anyway, because the magic just, you know, it that's what hooks you. And yeah, with that's what it is.
Yeah, goofy little things like the taking it out and having things pause, and then when it puts it back in. I mean, it sounds like such a minor thing, but when you think about how you use headphones and things on a daily basis, it makes sense, you know? So I'm walking into Starbucks to sit down, listening to a podcast, and I need to interact with somebody, just take the AirPod out, interact with them, have that conversation, and then stick it back in, and I'm right back to my podcast, right?
Well, yeah.
I don't have to fumble out even for my Apple Watch to sort of pause the thing.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing about it is, and this I noticed, so I had MP3 players before my iPod, and right. Those had stop buttons, right? So you had play, pause, stop, and, you know, fast forward, rewind. But there is a stop button. And then when I got the iPod, there was no stop button. And it was always so weird to me.
Always
at
paused,
least at first, like, there's no stop button? Like, oh, I guess you never stop listening to music. I guess it was kind of like a philosophical, interesting thing. But I think ultimately it was one of those, like, why do we need that extra button? There's no purpose. It's not actually doing anything. You want the music to pause. You don't necessarily need it to stop. So eliminate that interface. And I've noticed the same thing with the AirPods, where, you know, with the Jaybirds and really any other Bluetooth headset, there is a power off button. You know, you turn it on, you turn it off. With the AirPods, you don't worry about that.
Right.
And it's kind of freeing and nice that you don't have to worry about that anymore. When you take them out, they're off. You don't have to worry about the battery. It's just Yeah. It's that simple. So
even things like switching devices, or you know, pairing it with your iPhone, and then it's paired with, if you're using iCloud, all your other iOS devices, and then you can just go over to your iPad. You know, the way I typically switch is just swipe up on the control center and go to the music player, and then select the AirPods on the other device, mm-hmm. and it's just like magically switched over. That was always a struggle with me with other Bluetooth headsets. I know some people don't have problems with that, but I never got switching with any other Bluetooth headset to really work. I'd have issues where I'd have to literally unpair it from one device to be able to get it to pair with another device, and it was so infuriating to me.
I never had that. Did you have that with your Jaybirds?
I don't think so, but I think I only ever really used them with my iPad.
Okay, yeah.
That's the device I'm mostly working on, like when I'm at the coffee shop or when I'm out and about. Like I use my iPad my iPad Pro for most things when I'm mobile. Other than in the car, I'd use my iPod, but then I'm generally connected to the Bluetooth of my, you know, car system.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think ultimately I'm going to try to live with these as you know, incompatible as my ear holes are with these. Mm-hmm. They're compatible enough. I mean, I really would like to have another week with them, but I don't think it's going to be possible.
Yeah. I want to mention this for people who are on the fence, cause I found this fascinating. Have you gone to an Apple store and tried them on? Like, they have demo units in Apple stores now, and I was like, oh man, that sounds kind of gross. Like, no, I don't know how you would handle that. And apparently what they do is they must have a machine to, like, or some way to sanitize them in the back, but then they like individually wrap them. And so when you go in, they're taking them out of like an individually wrapped package each time for the people to try them on.
Wow.
So I was a little leery about trying them on at first, but I think I would do it now. And so my advice to people who are like on the fence, or like who know, well, earpods have never really fit me. If you want to try them on before you actually commit to pre-ordering them or making a purchase, because really still only the only real way to get them right now is to order them and wait 6 weeks.
Or wait in a line at the Apple store. That's one of the things that's keeping me back from, because I kind of wanted to return them and then maybe think about it for a week and then buy them again, sort of thing. Because
yeah, you're not going to be able to get them.
It's
yeah. Anyway, so but I mean, if you're wondering, are they going to fit my ears? Are they going to work? You can at least go into an Apple store now and try them on. You know, shake your head around. I guess in Michael's case, maybe lay down on one of the Apple tables. They might think you're weird, but you know, just lay there across the table or lay on the floor and see if they'll stay in.
Social experiment.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, the point is you could try them on and shake your head around and see if they're actually going to be compatible before you drop. I mean, because they are expensive, let's be honest. I think they're expensive. $170 for me is a lot to spend on a set of Bluetooth headphones. But
yeah, well, you know, okay, so the other thing that I noticed, this is pretty cool actually. So do you get looks when you're out and about wearing these things? I've definitely noticed people giving.
No, I haven't. I've honestly, and I was expecting it. I was sort of ready and waiting for, because people ask me about my other iOS devices or Apple products all the time, like my Apple Watch or my iPad or what have you. But I have not been approached or asked once about the AirPods, believe it or not, which is weird.
I haven't been asked. I've just gotten like very clear, like people staring like, what? Like what's going on right there with that guy?
Maybe it's because you had the stems sticking out like Shrek or something.
Well, no, I mean, I changed it. I fixed it and it's still like that. But I think, so what my friend told me when I mentioned to him, like, yeah, I get a lot of looks. And he's like, well, yeah, dude, you're like one of those, you're like the original iPod guy with the white headphones. He said it's like that. And I kind of have to agree. It's, you know, and so I put in my Blue Buds, my Jaybird Blue Buds again, when I went to the gym, because I didn't want to stress about it. And I went to take a selfie and I realized you know, with sunglasses on and the Blue Buds in with the cord coming down, it actually looks pretty damn dorky.
Yeah.
The cords, these things look a lot cooler than everybody thought they would.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am. You get over the, like, it's different. It's not dorky. Once you realize, like, oh, this is totally normal, and you, like, compare it to having the Bluetooth headphones that have a cord between them, you realize these are way cooler looking. So
I'm going to send you a photo.
Yeah, sure. Send me a photo of, you know, prove me wrong. Anyway, so let's talk about some.
This is cool, right?
What do you got? Did you send me something in Skype?
Yeah.
Well, you're making a face. It's a good picture. I'm gonna put this in the show notes.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, we've got a little bit of AirPod news, and then we'll move on. We mentioned before there have been some people having issues with the charge case, just depleting energy.
I might be having that issue.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wasn't so sure at first, but I don't know. I need to monitor it more closely. But I've noticed my charge case seems to discharge pretty quickly.
Okay. I haven't had that issue, but there have been some anecdotal reports on Reddit and MacRumors forums that if you do a reset of the AirPods.
I did that.
So, and by reset, I assume that means unpair in Bluetooth settings. Is that correct?
There's actually a reset procedure. So if you put the AirPods into the case, uh-huh, and then open the case so you can see the little light, uh-huh, and then press and hold the pairing button down until you see it flash amber and then flash back to the white. Okay. And that will completely factory reset the whole entire system. So you will have to repair with any device that you had it paired with previously. And also if you had changed the double settings. Tap setting,
yeah,
that has to get reset up as well. Reset up as well.
Okay.
So that's kind of like a full factory, you know, reset. And it'll even, the first time you open it up, it'll walk you back through the original pairing thing where it says, you know, connect, you know, when you flip open the case.
Right.
Yeah. And you'll have to go through the whole
one step.
Yeah. The whole one step. Well, but again, so if you use iCloud, of course, it's going to sync to all your other compatible devices, and if you're running Mac OS Sierra, it syncs with, if you have a Mac running Sierra too, right? Will it sync over to the Mac?
Yep.
So I'm not running Sierra yet, yeah. So I had to like manually pair mine with my Mac. But
that's why I updated to Sierra. Actually, is for the AirPods. Now the one thing that I don't understand why, but the one thing all these reviews are getting wrong is when they tell you how to switch to your AirPods on your Mac. Everybody says go to the Bluetooth settings, or you have to have the Bluetooth menu in your menu bar, which a lot of people don't have. I think it's far more common, correct me right. If I'm wrong, to have the speaker, the little sound icon in your menu bar.
And I have both. But
well, yeah,
I'm
we're
weird.
Nerds. You can. That's how I do it. If you click on the little
speaker.
But I
use Bartender also. So
clicking the speaker will give you your output device list, and your AirPods show up in that list with the battery life and all that stuff right there.
Like option clicking?
No, just clicking. You just click.
On the speaker icon?
Yeah, regular left click. One single left click, no modifier keys. It will show you all the output options. Your little volume
that must
slider.
Be a Sierra thing.
I think it is a Sierra thing. The other thing I realized about the AirPods is I think part of the reason Apple added Siri to Mac OS was to accommodate the AirPods.
I have a bigger, even bigger theory is I think AirPods were specifically developed because Apple knows we're going to be moving away from screened interfaces, and it's sort of the first product to kind of give them the ability to start moving more in that direction. So I think you're absolutely right with the Siri on the Mac, because that's directly related. And I think we're going to see more of that. And I think it's also why hopefully this year we'll see more sort of audio interaction, direct audio interaction come to Siri. So more in line with what's happening with the Amazon assistant, right? Where they don't fall back on the screen as the interface, where it's more direct audio interfacing. So
yeah,
you ask
nice.
A question and you're getting more audio responses rather than, hey, look at your screen for this additional information, or searching the web and things like that. So, and I think AirPods are definitely part of that strategy, because here's a wearable that gives you that direct voice interface, and it's not being publicly broadcast. I mean, one of the reasons why I don't sometimes use Siri in public is because, one, it feels weird to like be speaking to your phone. But then the second thing is, depending upon what question I'm asking, it's an audio response, right? So I've got to have a way to hear that response. And typically with just the phone, that's the speaker. And I don't want to like disturb other people with like, you know, the answer to my math question or my conversion question or, you know, what's the weather sort of question.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could use I've gotten around that, of course, with the standard Apple earbuds or whatever in the microphone inline. I mean, that works just as well. But just overall, you know, I think we're moving to interfaces that are not going to be screen driven. So if Apple wants to do something with augmented reality and some sort of glasses or contact lens or whatever it's going to be, they need some sort of really good audio input that's directional and can be picked up accurately and work well. And I mean, that's sort of what the beam forming microphones are all about, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely part of the larger strategy moving forward.
And well, you know, if it's funny, Apple has been trying to get this whole voice command, no screen thing to catch on for many years. If you remember the one of the iPod shuffles, That was a purely voice interface. It flopped totally. It is definitely one of those things that, I mean, I get that we interact with other humans through our voices. We don't sit next to each other and read our thoughts or, you know, look at a screen.
Or we do.
Yeah,
we do. You can't deny you haven't seen two people sitting right next to each other texting each other.
No,
right?
I've been there, and I've laughed to myself about it for sure. But you know, the natural way of interacting with other people
is voice.
And so perhaps it's just been a bit of a learning experience where we've decided that the normal way of interacting with the technology is to look at a screen and touch it or you know, use a keyboard, that sort of thing, where there is no voice interaction. But I, you know, as weird as it seems, it may have just been something that we've learned, and we can unlearn that and start doing Siri stuff. And
well, you don't even have to really unlearn it, right? If it gets smart enough and gets natural enough, I mean, every human being on the planet pretty much knows how to communicate from a very early age and interact with something from a very early age using voice.
Well, right? Yeah. And that, you know, ideally at some point there's no learning curve, because it's as easy as interacting with another person.
Yep.
So that's really the hump that Apple needs to get over. And as we've talked about before, Siri's kind of stagnated over the years. You know,
I think it's because they're working behind the scenes. I'm not convinced that it's quote unquote stagnated. I think they're really honing and trying to make sure that when they do release that experience, that it's
mind blowing.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, now that I have one of the Amazon devices, I can tell you, you know, people have been trying to tell me like Amazon is so leaps and bounds ahead of Apple. I've been using it, you know, daily now, and it's great, but it's way far from perfect. And it's not, in my mind, that much further along from where Apple is right now. The only difference is, like I said, Siri has the ability, and Apple, I think, used as a little bit of a crutch to fall back on the display, because Siri is always connected to a display.
Yeah.
Amazon did not have that luxury. So just by force of, hey, we do not have a screen to give people information on, we have to make sure that every response that comes back is fully optimized for audio. And so they had to do that out of necessity. And so, yes, in those kinds of interactions, the Amazon system works better. But I'm sure that Apple is working very hard on that. And the thing is the Amazon system often falls down with just that audio response, at least for me and my experience. It's not flawless. It's not perfect every time. The other problem that I have with it is it's constantly, we've even changed the keyword, and it's constantly like turning itself on at times where we're like, we didn't say anything close to the trigger word. And you're coming on, which is a little bit weird. That's not to say it's bad, you know, but I'm not convinced that they're that far ahead of where Apple is. And Apple's been working for years now, I think, behind the scenes, doing a lot of stuff just based on the number of people they're hiring in these fields of artificial intelligence and a lot of the other things. I think they're just honing it. They want to make sure that when they put out a voice first kind of product, that it's that magical experience. And that just takes time to do.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they could put out something now. I'm sure they could add these improvements to Siri, but I don't think they want to do little incremental things. I think they want to have a system that's complete and consumer ready. And, you know, the stuff that Google and Amazon, the approach they take it is just different. They put something out there and then it's not quite that great. And then they improve it and they improve it and they improve it and they improve it. And they, you know, for like years, and then it gets to a point. Apple's more in the line to make sure that it's almost perfect. You know, they're never going to get it perfect when they release it and ship it, but they try to make it as complete and featureful as they can when they launch it, and then do improvements on top of that. It's just a different strategy. So,
yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that they really did change this past year was adding app support to Siri, which is still extremely limited. I've tried doing it several times, and I'm going to try to keep doing it. But one, the developer support for it is so sparse that that it's hard to, you basically need to keep a list in your head of all the apps that you can do this with. It's not supernatural right now.
But it's the same thing with like, any other system. Like Amazon's system has all these apps. What do they call? They call them skills. So you can add all these quote unquote skills to the Amazon system, but they're all esoteric, and they're all like, you've got to know what these commands work for this skill and those commands work for that skill. And it's none of it's really intuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem. That's why Apple was limited in what they gave access to developers to, because at least there is some sort of consistency. So, you know, you have to learn the commands for sort of ride sharing, and they're going to work for if you're using Lyft or if you're using Uber.
Well, you know that.
Or the commands for like photo searching, or, you know, so they did kind of, they said, here's the abilities that we're going to open up for right now. And we'll add more in the future. But I think I think the reason for that is because you have to sort of form this language, and you have to teach people, and you have to, you know, you don't want to just dump like everything under the sun on them at once, which is, again, what the other systems are doing. And I've found that to be not useful. So I'm just avoiding the apps on Alexa for the most part, because it's just too much.
Yeah.
That makes any sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out on a lot of things because I'm doing that. And maybe that's why my experience hasn't been as, quote, magical as others. But
possibly. All I know is that I have 132 apps on my phone, and five of them have Siri support.
Sure.
So it's, well, and I mean, it's good ones like Square Cash, Venmo, Uber, PayPal, and Facebook. I don't understand what the hell the Facebook one would do. That sounds...
It's probably Messenger. It's got to be Messenger because it's messaging apps.
Not Messenger.
It's not, huh?
No. And I do have Messenger on here. It's the Facebook app. But yeah, so I've tried sending money through Siri in the past.
That works?
It works. It's just you have to get the exact syntax down. You have to... I mean, maybe it can do a little bit more conversational, like, you know, send Adam $20, but you have to say using the app, right? So send Adam $20 using cash or Square Cash.
Yeah, cool.
I guess it would work.
Just quick, add a hey Tim in front of that for me, and then.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Can I send you $20? Yeah. I'll do that. Okay, so that was the AirPod
long drawn out AirPod issue. Discussion. AirPods are awesome.
No, we haven't finished the AirPod discussion. So we've got the finder for AirPods, which I may be. Do we want to leave that for later?
Is that going to be your pick? Can do that. I'll figure something else out.
Okay, I'm screwing up your pick, but basically, so there's this app. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Screw it. We'll talk about it later for your pick. So with that, we got more to talk about. But before we do that, we're going to talk about our wonderful sponsor for this week, which is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks that are just short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. And all of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. All of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make your life super simple. They offer both classic boxes and veggie boxes, which you can choose each week. There are options for 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week, and they can be designed for either 2 or 4 people. So my experience with HelloFresh, first, I noticed the awesome packaging they have. Everything is organized, and the recipes are in neat, well-designed booklets, and which is great because I loved how much the recipes actually taught me about cooking, and I'll be using those recipes again in the future. So it's all nice and organized in those booklets. It includes nearly everything you need to cook the food, and of course they tasted great, and one of my favorite things was that there was actually more than enough to keep me satisfied. And best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding the ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So some of the stuff that they have in the classic boxes this week are the Spanish one pan chicken with chorizo and bell peppers, which looks and sounds really good. Zucchini flatbreads with balsamic onions, olives, and walnuts. And the cranberry turkey burgers with green salad. They actually have quite a bit more, and you can choose the meals ahead of time that they send to you, which is pretty great. So if you want to try HelloFresh, check them out at HelloFresh.com, and you can get $35 off your first week of deliveries by using the code TIOSS35 when you subscribe. That's TIOSS35. Check them out at HelloFresh.com. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. Okay, so with that, Energus, I think we talked about these guys a couple years ago.
Is it Energus or Energus?
It's probably Energus.
It's E-N-G. I thought it was like energy, because it's power, but
Energios. Maybe I'm wrong. Energios, whatever. So The Verge talked to those guys, and, well, I should say, Energus or Energus is the company that has been planning quote-unquote true wireless power for the last couple of years. They've been at CES and all that stuff. And the idea is, I think it's a 15-foot radius about.
Is that what it is?
That doesn't sound very impressive.
I don't think they've specified. That sounds about right, though. I mean, it's my understanding there's a pretty big fall off with how far away you get from the charging thing. But when you think about it, it might not matter. I think what happens is the further you get away, up to 15 feet. So the further you get away, I think it just charges at a slower or lower rate.
That's what I would guess. Yeah. So they use RF technology. So it's not like the magnetic induction like you have with the charging pads. The idea is, you know, you could walk into a coffee shop that has a little, you know, we have Energus here sticker on the window. And when you walk in there, your stuff just starts charging. Or if you walk into your home, your stuff just starts charging, which is great. And then, of course, the first question I had was, does that mean...
What does it do to your body?
Well, no, that was the second question. The first question is, is it always broadcasting power and just pulling, you know, sucking that power regardless?
It is, from your house. So yeah, it's like a vampire.
Controlled. Yeah, it's software socket. Controlled. So it actually communicates with the compatible devices over Bluetooth LE, which, you know, maybe that's the limiting factor on the 15.
So you're saying that if there's nothing around, it will just sort of shut itself down.
It shuts itself down, and it has some kind of, you know, I hesitate to say beamforming, but some kind of location awareness. So it targets the device that needs the power.
Yeah, you can do that with like Bluetooth LE. I think that's kind of how like the thing we're going to be talking about later works, I would assume.
Okay, yeah. So
it's almost like a beacon.
It only
sort of technology.
It only puts out the amount of power necessary to power the device or devices that are requesting power. So that's pretty nice. So it's over RF. As far as like how it's going to affect your body, I haven't been able to find what sort of frequency it's operating on. Obviously, it's non-ionizing radiation, but, you know, you might get a little warm. You might jiggle your molecules a bit.
I would imagine it's not any different than all the other RF frequencies that we're subjected to on a daily basis.
Yeah, they compare it to Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've all got Wi-Fi flying around our houses, and
yeah, I'm sitting
our neighbor's
right next
Wi-Fi
to
flying around our houses.
My Airport Extreme right now. I sleep next to my Airport Extreme, so I'm gonna get some
and all our devices and Macs and refrigerators and IoT things, and yeah, I mean, if RF is dangerous, we're all screwed at this point anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as Energus goes, they say that they are finally ready to launch later this year, and they say that they're going to be launching with, I forget exactly the quote, but it's, here we go, one of the largest consumer electronics companies in the world. I can't tell you who it is, but I can virtually guarantee you that you have products from this company on your person, sitting on your desk, or at home. There's been a lot of speculation in the past and currently that their key partner is Apple. This is corroborated by several rumors from VentureBeat, The Verge, Fast Company, Mac Rumors. There's a lot of stuff pointing to Apple.
Well, they showed off this technology at CES, or talked about it. I don't know if they showed it off. They talked about having the technology at CES in, I think, 2015. And supposedly were approached by some unnamed company afterwards who wanted them to be able to miniaturize the technology and wanted like exclusive rights to be the first company to launch it. And I think it's not that far-fetched to think that that was Apple.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see how they implement this, because you need a beacon. You need a transmitter for this to work. And there are different size transmitters.
Sure.
For this technology. So you got a really small one that works within a couple feet of the device. There's one that's, you know, I'm sorry, a couple inches, I should say. Let me, transmitters. I'm looking at their page right now.
I want the whole house one.
Yeah, so the miniature, they call it Watt Up. The miniature Watt Up transmitter is pretty much for like within the within the space of your desk.
Right. So you'd put it on your desk or your nightstand or something like that.
Actually, I think it's for one device. And then the medium, the mid-size Wattup is 2 to 3 feet. So then, yeah, I guess that would be within your desk. So when you bring it to your desk, you know, your headphones and your mouse and keyboard and computer and all this stuff would be able to use that. And then the full size is the 15-foot kind of idea. And they envision that being embedded in some device like a sound bar or a TV, that sort of thing. So, you know, while it's possible that Apple may just give you the miniature deal where it's like this charges your phone, you put this on your desk and you kind of put your phone near near that thing, almost like a like an inductive charger.
Right.
I guess the idea ultimately would be, you know, oh, if you buy this new Apple power transmitter for your house, then you can, it'll power your phone wherever you are. So it's kind of agnostic to the transmitter. Whatever transmitter you have, it can receive it, whether it's the small one or the big one. So, you know, this may play into the whole Airport Express or the Airport Extreme situation where, you know, we've heard that it may be discontinued. They're still selling them, of course. So perhaps that may be the next big feature of the airport.
Now, these transmitters are pretty big. I hadn't really looked at them yet, but they're, I mean, even like the desktop one is pretty large. Looks like it's about the width of a 15 inch laptop screen, maybe a couple inches high.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So what I would guess would happen is Apple is going to announce they have this technology in there. They would ship it with one of these in the iPhone, ship it with one of these mini transmitters that almost looks like more like the charge, like you said, like the charging pad. Like you'd almost have to set the phone right on top of it.
Yeah.
And then let third parties and other companies sell, you know, compatible Watt up compatible different kinds of charging transmitters and things like that. You know, who knows if Apple would actually build it into one of their own products.
Yeah. Well,
Who knows? Maybe they'll come out with a Beats soundbar for your TV and it'll have a Watt up transmitter in it.
Yeah, maybe. So it's pretty interesting. I would like it. I don't think my personal desire would not be, all right, we've gotten this wireless power. Let's now ditch the Lightning adapter altogether.
No. And actually, Sonny Dixon this week reported that Apple was going to be adding in fast charging, rapid charging technology into at least the high end version of the new iPhone, the iPhone 8.
So greater than the, what is it, 2.4 amps?
Yeah. So it'd be that rapid charging. So, you know, if you're getting really low, you can plug in and you can quickly get, you know, a 30 or 50% charge in, you know, like minutes or something. Like it's some of the stuff that like Android phones have this fast charging capability.
So
that just says
fast
to me that, you know, they're still going to have Lightning charging. I think this Watt up technology is more about keeping your devices charged when you're just like lounging around the house, right? You've got your iPad just sitting there on the coffee table. Why shouldn't it be slowly kind of getting a charge anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's more about kind of keeping you topped up than actually like this isn't the system that you're still going to dock your phone when you want to charge it probably overnight, or at least put it on a small transmitter pad where it's getting more of a direct, you know, quicker charge. And then the idea with the Watt up stuff is just like, hey, I my phone's like that all the time. I'm sitting on the couch and I just have the phone like resting on the armrest and I'm not using it because I'm maybe using my iPad at the time or just watching TV.
Yeah, that would definitely be ideal.
You know, so it's I think it's more about the longer range wireless charging is more about not having to think about like docking your phone constantly into some sort of thing in your living room. You can just be lounging around the house and it's getting power.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so last thing I want to talk about is T-Mobile had another Un-carrier event.
Mm-hmm.
And they have now eliminated all but one plan for postpay. So it's the T-Mobile One plan, of course. And you get unlimited data, unlimited talk, text, and data for $70, and that's it. And you, I think, let me see here. I want to get the exact numbers. So when you add on the, where is it? 70 for the first line, 50 for the second line, and then $20 for each additional line. And that's all unlimited. So if you go to their webpage, you can see there's a big slider thing. So the first line is 70. And then if you have two lines, it's 120 a month. The big thing, the big cool thing that they did is eliminated all the BS additional fees that everybody tacks on, that even they were tacking on before, you know, administrative fees.
What do you mean by additional fees?
Access fee, regulatory charge, federal universal service charge.
Oh, that's all built into the price?
All that crap is built into the price now.
Gotcha.
So, and
they haven't, I mean, let's be honest, they haven't eliminated them. They've just rolled it into their pricing model.
Well, they've
you just don't have to see it or
more
know about
transparent
it.
About their advertised cost of having a line now, which is that's the big deal. So if you look at, they have a nice little graphic on their site comparing AT&T to T-Mobile. So they're comparing the four lines, 25 gigabyte shared is AT&T and then T-Mobile is unlimited. The advertised price for AT&T is $110 per month, and the T-Mobile one is $160. But then they rank up all of the additional fees, and then you realize that the AT&T plan is $222 a month, and the T-Mobile is $160. So you actually get what the price is given up front, and it is cheaper.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper. I'm not switching because I think I might be able to get away with it now. It's one of those things that I think I would probably end up paying the same amount, but I've got the iPhone 7 promotional thingamajig, so I don't know if I can switch.
I'm kind of curious. I don't even know what we pay for four lines on AT&T right now.
That'd be interesting to see. Yeah, so T-Mobile, they're continuing to do this. There's a little bit. They also have a kickback program, so customers who use less than 2 gigs of data or month or let sorry blah 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 two
right.
gigs or less per month, they will get $10 back on their bill every time that occurs for every line that does that, which is very cool. However, there are some caveats here. Auto pay is required, no big. The top 3% of data users, which translates to about 28 gigabytes per month, would notice reduced data speeds until the next billing cycle, which is a little shady, but I mean, 28 gigs is kind of insane. Like I'm a heavy data user and I use about, three gigs a month. But the big deal is video streams are limited to 480p and tethering is limited to 3G speeds. Max 3G, whatever that means. So, but if you want higher quality video streaming, you can get the T-Mobile One Plus, which is an additional $15. So, you know, they're shaking it up. They're making things happen. It's interesting. It's good. It's progress. And I'm a happy T-Mobile user. So that's me. That's T-Mobile. And with that, let's talk about our picks. And Adam, you have one that we kind of pre-talked about. So what is it?
Oh, yeah. My pick is this funky little app. And I was
that you can't get. So good job with this pick.
What? You can't get it now?
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't know they pulled it.
They pulled
maybe
it.
I shouldn't fix it.
Sorry.
Pick it.
Well, talk about it anyway.
Who pulled the Apple pulled it?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I'm not that surprised. All right. What is it?
All right. So the pick was Find AirPods.
Yeah. Find it for AirPods.
Yeah. And what it does is it kind of does a little like GPS style locator for your AirPods. So if you have one fall out, you can launch the app. It walks you through a little wizard. You have to have the charging case on you. So if you lose the charging case, all bets are off with this app. But it then gives you this little bar graph, this sort of little curved bar graph. and you walk around and the graph will get, it'll sort of fill up as you get closer to the area where the AirPod is. So it kind of gets you into the general range of your missing AirPod. And when I first tried it out, I kind of don't think I really understood the interface, because there's two things that were going on with the interface. One, it would be like there's some text on the screen that appears that says, oh, you're in the area, you're getting closer. And that really wasn't telling me. That just seemed to cycle no matter where I was in the house, if that makes any sense. Huh. So what you really had to look at was this little curved bar graph. This little like line that would get thicker. There's a thick black portion, and that gets, you know, larger as you get closer to where the AirPod is. And so when I did that, it worked great. And so the first time I was like, maybe this isn't that great. And then I thought, you know, let me give it another try in sort of a real, more difficult example. So I gave an AirPod to each one of my kids and said, all right, hide this someplace in the house. So I did not know where the AirPods were. All I had was this app to go around to try and figure out where they were. And it worked. They had hidden them very well, inside of things, under things, and I could find them every time. It would get me right to the area, and then I was like, okay, it must be like under this book or under this piece of clothing or whatever it might be, or in this drawer. And sure enough, that's where I found them.
Cool. So,
yeah, I wonder why. That's a bummer that Apple pulled it, because it actually worked. And it was $4, $3.99 US. I was skeptical. Again, the downside is the only times personally that I have lost the AirPods so far, they have not fallen out. I have dropped them trying to get them out of the case. I think I already mentioned it's sometimes difficult to pull them out of the case. So I've been pulling it out and it just slipped out of my fingers and sort of fell right where I was. But they've never fallen out of my ears. But where I have misplaced them is just losing the whole like package, like the AirPods in the little white case. I've been like, okay, where did I put that? It's sort of like, you know, where did I leave my keys sort of situation.
Oh, yeah.
And this app would not have helped in that scenario, because you do have to have at least the case on you. And it works better if you have one AirPod, I think, that you can leave in the case. But it was a cool little app. Yeah. I guess maybe Apple pulled it because they didn't want to perpetuate the myth that AirPods get lost.
Yeah.
Is that, you think?
Well, I'm guessing it's more like it doesn't work perfectly.
It worked for me. Like I said, I mean, I gave it kind of real hard scenario where it's like, I did not know where those AirPods were. I mean, they were physically hidden. So, I don't know. I have another story somewhat related that I shared on my show. I had a listener not long after the AirPods were released who mentioned he was on a plane and he was on a trip, and he went to put them in his ears and he dropped one and it fell kind of between the seat, and he was like panicking and he's like looking around and he got the guys behind him to kind of look, and they couldn't find it. So he didn't want to keep disturbing people. And he's like, okay, I'll wait till after the flight lands and then I'll just like do a sweep, right? When no one's around. And what he noticed was he was looking at the battery indicator in the widget, and the one that he had dropped went like missing. It like disappeared. And he's like, okay, what's going on? And so he figured the guys behind him must have like nabbed it. And sure enough, he runs outside and they're out in the waiting area waiting for a car. And he just sort of strides up next to him with the battery indicator on. And sure enough, that missing AirPod showed up. So he's like, dude, you guys have my AirPod. And like the one guy who didn't take it was like, no. And then he kind of pressed, and the other guy's like, looks in his bag and finds it. Oh, I found it. It was in my bag.
That's weird. Ugh.
Yeah, I wouldn't probably have gone after somebody. I'd be worried about the confrontation, but he was brave enough to do it, and he got his AirPod back, you know, using that. So, an app like this would have worked, I guess, sort of in that situation.
Yeah, so I saw a video online. It's, you know, AirPod hack, but basically they put a these little the pads on the AirPods. I wish they would sell the little foam guys, because, you know, right. when Apple sold the remember the original iPhone Bluetooth
earbuds, yeah, they had little foam covers that they gave you.
Well, yeah, even with the black Bluetooth
oh, they did
headset. Yeah, the dude, Bluetooth, that thing is so cool. Ugh, I'm glad I have that. I gotta dig that out and just, you know, put it in my little,
you have one of those
Apple shrine. Yeah, hell yeah, I do. I love it. I had the same problem with that one. My ear shape is bad. But yeah, the foam always kind of helped. And the only thing that you need to tweak with the foam is you just need to take like a little, like a syringe or something like that. Heat it up and then, burn away or subtract the material near the sensor spots.
Right.
And then you're good to go. So I'm going to try doing that. I think, I mean, today is the day that I need to return my AirPods if I'm going to return them. And so I guess that means I need to go out today and find some foam thingies for my earpods, because I really like them.
Do you not get, I thought over the holidays, Apple gives you an extra 15 days, right?
Yeah. And today or tomorrow is
the 30th day.
Yeah. Pretty sure. I got to check. But I got mine on the,
anyway, that was my pick. That wasn't a pick, I guess.
Yeah, so you can't get that. Sorry. my pick is the portable Melody Bluetooth speaker from Monoprice.
Ooh.
It is $50, but it's got tons of battery life. Pretty solid amount of battery life and really good sound. And so I got it for $20 for on Black Friday, but I'd say this thing is worth it. It's very nice. It's compact. It's sturdy. Has big sound. Let's see. I'm trying to find. It's a 30-foot range. It does have a 3.5mm stereo input. One of the most important things that it has is
it's the knockoff of the what's that one that everybody loved.
Hmm.
I'm looking at the design of it.
Yeah, I'm just curious what the knockoff thingy is.
Well, that's what Monoprice. That's their key.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to figure out what the
they always do.
I'm curious what the original one is. So playback time is 10 hours. And as far as like sound quality goes, one of the big things about it is it has a passive radiator on the back, so it makes the sound much nicer. To have good sound, and you can also take phone calls on it if you want. I haven't tried that yet, but overall, I'm pretty impressed with the speaker. It charges over micro USB. The only bummer about it is there's no the volume control is separate. You know what I mean? If you change the volume on your phone, it's like the output volume on your phone, and then if you want to turn up the speaker, you have to press the buttons on the speaker. They also have a mini version of this, the Mini Melody. I don't think that has a passive radiator on it, but
right.
It, you know, no, it does on the Mini. That's pretty incredible. If I'm looking at this correctly, that, yeah, but so the Mini,
the Jambox is what I think I was thinking of.
The, what's the brand on that?
It's called the Jambox, right? It's like the original one. It was Jawbone.
Oh, yeah,
the
Jawbone one. Yeah, right? Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. This is a total knockoff of the Jaybird Jambox. Yeah, definitely. It's good. It's good stuff. So, yeah, $50 for the portable Melody, and then $30 for the portable Mini Melody. I'll put the link to that in the show notes. It's on Monoprice, and they're awesome. So yes,
budget Bluetooth speakers.
I'll give you a
little bonus pick, since my pick you can't get.
okay,
Gods of Rome on the Apple TV.
All right,
you have to have a Bluetooth controller though, so it's great with my Nimbus. It's like a fighting game, And I will tell you right now, if you're a hardcore gamer, it's like, it's not for you.
Okay.
Because the fighting mechanisms, it's not that hard to win. Like the controls are like super simple, which is something that I like about it. Like, to me, I can actually win battles, and it's not like I don't have to learn a bunch of arcane, like weird fighting, you know, like sequences like A, B, B, R1, R3, 7, and you do the magic, you know, kill move or whatever. It doesn't have any of that stuff.
Cool. It's free.
And there's in-app purchase. I haven't done any in-app purchase, and it hasn't really, I haven't noticed that it's really egregious. It's more of that timed thing. So you can either wait for things, you know, to get power-ups and things, or you can, you know, like pay to like speed those things up.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just like a simple little fighting game, and the graphics are kind of really cool, and it's fun on the Apple TV if you have a Bluetooth controller. I love my Nimbus Steel Series controller still. That thing is awesome. So there you go.
Yeah, bonus pick. I do like that. Cool. All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to try that because I do have the Nimbus. So with that, you can find all of the picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes, give us star ratings, send us feedback. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback about the show, send that to feedback@theiosshow.com. As for sponsors, check out HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com and use the code TIOS35 for $35 off your first week of deliveries. And all the advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, BackbeatMedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast at MattCast.com. And he's at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for jumping back in the fold, man. It's been a minute.
Been a little while. Yeah, can I plug one other thing real quick, because it was fun this week and I haven't been on a while, but yeah. Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt and Frog Pants Studios, they do a show called Current Geek, and I was on Current Geek this week's episode, and it was a lot of fun. There was actually Stephanie, and I'm gonna mutilate her last name, I'm not even going to try to do it, but
okay.
A woman named Stephanie was on there, and she has actually been a puppeteer on, she does voice acting and regular acting, theater acting, and also is a puppeteer, and she's worked on Sesame Street.
Mm.
So there's a lot of cool, fun stuff in there about puppeteering and Sesame Street and all that kind of fun stuff. So people should check that out. Current Geek on the Frog Pants Network. Just look for Current Geek in your favorite podcatcher, and I'm sure you'll find it.
Neat. And with that, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod,
how are we going to communicate this?
Stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.